You can be seated. I'd like to say, as always, it's my happy privilege to be here tonight, feel the wonderful presence of God, and to know the Lord is still with us. We've enjoyed every service, and though our crowds have not been big, we have still enjoyed the wonderful refreshing that we've had in the Lord, and we have had some pretty good crowds out to where we could tell them about the lovely things of Jesus. The Lord has His reasons, and as long as He's satisfied, I'm satisfied. If I know that I'm not falling down on my end, then I'm satisfied because I know everything's working according to schedule. All right, the Acts of the Apostles tonight, I'd like to read from the first chapter in the seventh verse. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In chapter 2, the first verse, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken in by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and is off even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this underward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. I'd like to say again that we're glad to be here tonight. It's our privilege, as always, to come here and talk about the wonderful things of God and to enjoy the presence of the saints of God, those who have come out and those who have cared enough to fellowship us in this meeting. As I've said before, it has to do with a great, wonderful thing. The world doesn't understand it. Atlanta doesn't understand it. But I'm glad that I do understand it, and I trust that a few of you understand it. And I feel that that is why that some of you are out. I'm sure that some of you came out because you want to worship God, you want to be with us. But others came because they understand what's happening, and they wouldn't miss it for anything in the world. So then, I'm glad tonight to be here and feel the wonderful presence of God. It looks like the crowd's all pretty much tonight, but nevertheless, we've got enough people to preach to, and I thank God for those that are here. I want to say again, I appreciate Brother and Sister Jones being here with us, coming out as regular as they have in this meeting. We had a chance to talk with them just a little bit before service tonight, and it's a real blessing. These are some very wonderful and fine people. And Brother Jones told the sister tonight that from now on his name was changed. He wanted her to call him Moses. That was his new name. So I think it's wonderful, you know, to have people like that and to be here in the presence of God and to enjoy the wonderful fellowship of our wonderful Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then every night that we have ministered here, it's been a real privilege to me. I've enjoyed it in the greatest kind of way. And I feel that in the last few nights of this meeting, that God will continue to bless us. And something great is being done, more than you will ever know. As a matter of fact, a brother had a vision the other night and he was telling me about it. It seemed to have to do with this meeting, as far as I could tell, and with Atlanta, Georgia. Now, so then I want to say that it is my happy privilege to be here and reading from the book of Acts tonight. I read the scripture where it tells us that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, in the original text, as far as we know, it says ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So then when we speak of power, we are speaking of the great, wonderful Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is power. When you receive power, it is when you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be a believer, but just being a believer doesn't mean that you have power with God. Just being a believer doesn't mean that you have power with God. There's hundreds of thousands of believers in the world today. There are church members across the world today. They belong to all kinds of religious bodies, and they are true believers. They believe, but they have not been filled with the Spirit of God, and because of this, they do not have the infilling of the power of God on the inside. The Holy Ghost is power. How many of you know that God is a spirit and God is the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost is the one that created heaven and earth? He is the power that has created all mankind, and the Bible tells us that all things was created by him and for him. For his pleasure were all of these things created. And so then when you receive God in your heart, then you have received power. Because God is power. So then Jesus, just as he got ready to make his ascension back into the heavenlies, he stood there and he told them, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he told them, he said, go back and tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And the Bible says that they went back and they tarried. Within 10 days from the time of his ascension, there came a great mighty moving of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that as the Spirit came down, that the Spirit filled all of the house where they were at. As they tarried together, as they prayed to God, as they asked God for his blessings, this great, wonderful experience came to pass in their lives, for the Holy Spirit came down and filled all of the house where they were sitting. And the Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like unto fire, and this cloven tongue of fire set upon each of them as it moved through the room. That is, there came down a cloven tongue of fire, and you could see that tongue of fire as it came down and sit upon each one of them. So then, this great, wonderful Holy Ghost that filled the entire room, this great, wonderful Spirit of God that came down, filled the lives of those believers, and when they departed from that room, they were burning like a flame of fire with the anointing of God, and their lips was like coals of fire, and wanting to testify of the greatness of God and this great experience that they had just come to know during the time that they were supplicating unto God. So then, what a great and a mighty experience this was. They received the infilling of the mighty Holy Ghost. Paul at the upper coast of Ephesus, in the 19th chapter of Acts, he asked the people this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. Paul said, then unto what was you baptized? They said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. He said, John indeed baptized with water under repentance, saying, believe on him that cometh after me. That is, believe on Jesus. I believe on the name of Jesus, for he's coming after me, John said. I'm not worthy to dust his shoes. It is he that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You love Jesus? If this couple right here would pay a little attention, they'd get something tonight. You love Jesus? You know you need to pay attention when you come to the house of God if you want something from God. Isn't that right? All right, so then, here the great and the mighty moving of God was. Here the Holy Spirit was moving, and God was doing something like he had never done before. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he said, there's going to be power in your life. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power, because God is the great spiritual power that spoke the world into existence. Hallelujah. So then, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the power of God in your life. Behold, I give unto you power, Jesus said. I give unto you power. What kind of power? I give unto you the Holy Ghost. I give unto you my Spirit. I give unto you power. What kind of power? I give unto you the Holy Ghost.
I give unto you God power. I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of Lucifer, all the powers of Satan. I give you the power over sickness. I give you the power over death. I give you the power over sorrow. I give you the power over poverty. I give you the power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, brother, that's a big thing. Did you know that? When God tells you that he gives you power over all the powers of the enemy, then that is a great thing. I'm glad to know tonight that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Lucifer is in the world. Satan is in the world. He savors the things that be of the flesh. His desire is in materialistic realms, but the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Now that's saying a lot, because Lucifer is a great, powerful being. Have you know that Satan is a powerful being? He's the greatest power there is, except for God. He is so powerful that he can make the ocean boil like a pot. The Bible tells us that he can. That Lucifer has great power, and he is so powerful that he can make the ocean literally boil like a pot. But the greater power is God. When they were on the little boat, and there when Jesus was asleep, the billows began to roll. The winds begin to blow. The thunders begin to roll. The lightning begin to flash. And everybody on the boat got afraid. And they lost their faith. And they lost their stability. And they begin to tremble. And they begin to shake. And they begin to be afraid. And somebody said, go awake Jesus. Wake him up. And somebody went near to Jesus and they said, Jesus, Jesus, carest thou not if we perish? Jesus arose. He rebuked the winds and he rebuked the waters and he rebuked the people. He said, where is your faith? O ye of little faith, where is your faith? And the Bible said he raised his hands to the winds and he said, peace. He looked down at the waters and he said, be still. And everything began to calm down as Jesus spoke to the waters and spoke to the wind. And everything became very peaceable. You know, not too long ago, we were on a little boat out in the Sea of Galilee. And I was preaching the gospel as that little boat crossed the Sea of Galilee. And I felt the mighty anointing of God, because I felt that same spirit that I feel here tonight. Jesus Christ was there on the little boat. And I thought about the great and the mighty thing that he did. As he stepped forth, when those waters began to billow up, when the master rose up and said, peace be still. I tell you, it's wonderful to know that there is a greater power than Lucifer. Lucifer had made the deep to boil like a pot, and the Sea of Galilee was just a rolling like a pot. But all of a sudden, the greater power came into view, and Jesus said, peace, be still. And the Bible said the waters calmed down, and the winds backed off. Why? Because Lucifer met more than his match when he met Jesus. Hallelujah. When he met Jesus, he couldn't do anything with Jesus. Everyone that he ever met, everyone that Lucifer ever met, he overcame them. They took this man, they put chains on him. But when Satan's power come upon him, he would burst the chains. And they could not bind him. But one day Jesus came by. One day a greater authority came by. One day a greater power came by. And all of a sudden, here this wild man ran out at Jesus. The devils and the demons charged toward Jesus. But Jesus just stood right where he was. And when those powers of, when the demon powers and those powers of evil came near to Jesus, all of a sudden they lost all of their courage and they lost all of their strength. And they just gave away in the presence of Jesus. And the man fell down at Jesus' feet. And the demons began to cry out and said, "Oh, Master, don't torment us before our time." Hallelujah. There was the Master again. The devils and the demons knew that they had met the Master. And they fell down before him and they said, "Oh, Master, oh, great and mighty God, have you come to torment us before our time?" You know, I'm glad the Bible said, "Behold, I give unto you power." Jesus was a mortal man, just like I'm a man. He was a mortal being, just like you are. But he accepted the Spirit of God in his life. And the Bible said he grew from a little child. He grew in wisdom. He grew in favor with man and God. He grew in stature, but he also grew in understanding, and he grew in wisdom until he come to conceive of that great thing concerning the power and the benefits of the great Holy Spirit. And from that time, Jesus began to walk and he confounded the great powers of science. He confounded the scholars. And they couldn't understand how Jesus knew, never having learned. They said, "How is it that this man knows, never having learned?" But he told him, he said, "My doctrine is not of mine own, but mine is to do the will of him that sent me." And so then the great mastery of the mind of God, sitting in the midst of the elders, confounded the intellect again, confounded Satan again, and they had to take a bow to him and know that he was the Master. You say, "Brother Pike, what does that mean to me and you?" It simply means that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that God is in our heart tonight, that Christ is on the inside of you tonight, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is in you tonight. The power of God is on the inside of you tonight, and God is watching over you tonight, and you've got power against all the powers of evil. Sickness is not to have dominion over you. Poverty is not to have dominion over you. Heartaches and sorrows not to have dominion over you. The Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you believe in God, Jesus said, "Believe also in the Word or me." Take the promise for what it is. Believe, and if you believe there's a God, then believe in the word that God sent. Jesus said, "I'm the word of promise to you. I'm your word of security." If you believe there's a God, believe in me. Believe in the word, Jesus said. Believe in the promise. If I promise you these blessings, if I've given you all things that pertain unto life, and I tell you this, believe in this thing. Tonight, I have received the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You say, "Brother Pike, I'm a believer." But have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, you say, "But Brother Pike, I've already spoken tongues." I didn't ask you if you spoke in tongues. I said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" Speaking in tongues doesn't mean that you've received the Holy Ghost. You say, "But I've shouted everywhere." Shouting doesn't mean that you've received the Holy Ghost. You say, "But I've had such a great experience, I've just stood and cried, Brother Pike." But that doesn't mean that you received the Holy Ghost. You say, "How can I tell, Brother Pike, that I've got the Holy Ghost?" The Bible said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Ghost, he will testify of me, and he will come in my name." When you get the Holy Ghost, you'll talk like Jesus, you'll walk like Jesus, you'll act like Jesus, you'll live like Jesus, and you won't want anything that Jesus doesn't want. The only proof of the Holy Ghost in your life is that you live a holy, godly, unadulterated life that is separated from the things of this world. If you do not do that, you do not have the Holy Ghost. If you still have the hunger and the thirst in your heart for worldly things, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you still have an ambition and a drive for the things of this world, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, you may be a believer. You may be a believer, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. It takes God's Spirit to turn you away from the things of this world. It takes God's Spirit to put a new life in you, a new drive in you, a new desire in you. It takes God's Spirit to awaken you to a new world and a new thing and take out of you that old thing that is causing your problem. It takes God's Spirit. If you don't have that, then you're going to be just as world as ever. If you don't have God's Spirit, you're going to be just as hungry and thirsty as ever for the things of the world. If the Bible tells us that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. If you've got a love for the world, you could not have a love for God. If there's a longing for the things of this world, then you've missed the love of God. What is the love of the world? The love of Lucifer. For Satan loveth the things that be of the flesh. What is the love of the world? It's the love of automobiles, the love of homes, the love of fine clothing, the love of prestige, the love of money, the love of popularity, the love of fame, the love of entertainment, the love of all the materialistic things of this life. If that kind of love, that kind of desire, that kind of burning is on the inside of you, if there's something inside of you driving you to that, then you don't have the love of God, because that's the love of the world. But brother, if you've got a love on the inside of you of God, it'll work just exactly contrary to that. What is the love of God? The love of God is to go to the house of God. The love of God is to fast and pray. The love of God is to evangelize the world. The love of God is to be holy, clean, virtuous, godly, upright. The love of God, what is the love of God? The love of God is that love that places the affection on things up above and not the things that are in this world. The love of God, what is the love of God? The love of God is that thing that wants to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and do something for the poor. The love of God is that that makes you want to deny yourself. The love of God is that that makes you want to be clean and holy. The love of God is that that makes you turn the TV off when the corruption comes across the screen. The love of God is that that causes you to pull the pictures down off of the wall that's filthy and degraded. Burn them up. The love of God is that that causes you to take the newspaper and throw it out the door into the furnace when it comes with that which is contrary to righteous living and godly things. The love of God is that that causes you to shun the very appearance of evil. The love of God causes you to shun the very appearance of evil, not only with your eyes, but in your thinking, beloved friend. You shun it in your thinking. The love of God is that that makes you to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The love of God is that that reproves you day after day. The love of God is that that could correct you. And Paul said, the love of God constrains me. The love of God is that that constrains you. So then when you've got the love of God, there's no place for the love of the world. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can't have an automobile? I didn't say that you couldn't have an automobile. I didn't say that you couldn't have a home. I didn't say that you couldn't have clothing. I didn't say that you couldn't have money. For the Bible said, God, the blessing of God, maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. But I'm saying that no person can have money and not share with the poor, not share with the gospel, and still have the love of God. You can't have this world's goods. Shut up your bowels of compassion, because the Bible said, if you do, how dwelleth the love of God in you? When you got the things of this world and you take everything for your four and no more, and you're not willing to share with God, and you're not willing to share with your fellow man, you're not willing to help the poor. You're like the Bible said. He said, my people are greedy dogs that never get enough. If you get 1,000, you want 2,000. If you get 2,000, you want 10,000. If you get 10,000, you want 100,000. If you get 100,000, you want 500,000. If you get 500,000, you want 1,000,000. But you never have enough to stir, to share with God and to share with your fellow man. But brother, what we need to do is to awake from our deep sleep and slumber. We need to do something for God. We need to share with God. You know why America is sick? Because she's selfish. America is one of the most selfish people in all of the world. She is selfish. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, America gives more to religion than any other nation in the world. Not too long ago, it was a proven fact that a survey showed that they spent more on dog food than they did world evangelism. America is selfish. She spends money on religion, but it's money that they heap together in their own little groups, in their own little religious bodies, and they freeze it up and they won't let it go to anybody else that needs help. That's America. Look at this auditorium here tonight. Seats several thousand people. Where are they at tonight? You say, Brother Pike, they don't know about the meeting. Sure they know about the meeting. You say, well, why is it that they're not here? I could tell you why. I can tell you why that they're not here. You say, well, tell us. They are not here tonight because they don't have a love for the truth. They don't love the truth of God's word. And they know we preach the truth. They hear it from the TVs. They hear it from the radios. They hear it as we read. They read it as we publish it in the gospel pages. They don't love the truth. They don't want to get rid of the love of the world. They don't want to turn away from the things of the world. Their women don't want to dress like ladies. And their men don't want to act like gentlemen. They'd rather lust. The Bible said they don't love the light because their deeds are evil. And they love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But the Bible said this is the condemnation that has come into the world. That light in the evening time, light has come. And this is the judgment that God will have against them in the day of judgment. That they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither will they come to the light, Jesus said, lest they be reproved of their evil deeds. They won't come to the light because they'll be reproved of their evil deeds and they'll have to get rid of their evil ways. So they don't come to the light because they'll be reproved. But brother, he that loveth the light will come to the light. He that loveth the light will search for the light. And the Bible said, when you seek me, ye shall be found of me, saith the Lord. When you seek me with all of your heart, then I shall be found of you, saith the Lord. When you hunger for me and when you thirst for me, then I will be found of you, saith the Lord. But until you hunger after me, until you thirst after me, until you put all of your strength, all of your heart, all of your desire in searching diligently for me, then he said, you won't find me. You won't find me. He said, if you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. If you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How can you do it? Because when you draw nigh to God, he gives you power over all the powers of the enemy. God gives you power over all the powers of the enemy. Behold, I give unto you power go back and tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. What are we doing, my brother, sister? We are in a warfare. We're not having a religious parade. We're not in some program. We're not trying to see who can build the biggest cathedral. We are in a warfare. The Bible said there's a continual warfare between the body and between the soul of mankind. There is a continual warfare. There is a continual warfare. This inner person is warring against this outer person. And God that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is working through your five human senses, trying to get control of your outer image and your outer man to overpower the God that's inside of you. But the God on the inside of you is trying his best to be energized by the great, wonderful love and virtue of his own presence to overcome the outer infiltration of Lucifer's spirit that is within your bodily members. Paul said, within my flesh, within my bodily members, there dwelleth no good thing. Within my flesh, within my bodily members, there dwelleth no good thing. You know, we get to thinking real highly of ourselves. But the Bible said, within our flesh, within our bodily members, there dwelleth no good thing. We'll come to church and some of these boys will come and sit on the bench to cause problems. Some of the girls will sit on the bench to cause problems. Satan will send somebody to church that he might be in that person to cause problems. When the sons of God come, then Lucifer comes also in the body of Satan, in the body of Lucifer, to cause problems. Because there is a continual warfare. There is the warfare between the inner and the outer man. Because within your flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Within your bodily members there dwelleth no good thing. I say that over and over that it might take on your mind and that you might understand what I'm saying. We think too highly of ourselves. We get religious. We get more holier than thou. And we want to push other people out. But the Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way before God. God looked down and as it was in the days of Noah. He said all flesh will have corrupted their way before God. All flesh as it was in the days of Noah. What was it in the days of Noah? As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was it? All flesh had corrupted its way before God. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. The churches had corrupted their way before God. The government had corrupted their way before God. All religious people had corrupted their way before God. The Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them were asleep. All of them were asleep. It didn't say some of them were asleep at the midnight cry. It didn't say a certain religious group was asleep at the midnight cry. It didn't say the sinners were asleep at the midnight cry. It said the wise virgin was asleep at the midnight cry. It said the foolish virgin was asleep at the midnight cry. All of them were asleep at the midnight cry. All of them. Their light had gone out. Now, brother, sister, let me tell you something tonight. Did you know that the light of God has entirely gone out? Are you listening? Gross darkness shall cover the people, but it shall come to pass that there shall be light in the evening time. Gross darkness has covered the people. Intellectual reasoning, a derivative from the fall of the tree of knowledge there in the garden. Gross darkness, intellectual reasoning, leaning to human understanding, trying to figure it out according to science. That thing has completely swept over the people. And God is completely pushed out of the picture. He's completely pushed out of the picture. Light. Light. In the evening time. And this is the condemnation that is coming to the world, Jesus said. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That is, God understanding has come into the world, But men love human understanding better than they love God understanding, because human understanding is interwoven with the satanic forces of evil. He that loveth the things of the flesh, and he that loveth the things of this world. So then men love intellectual reasoning. Men love their own thinking. Men love to do their own thing because they love their own understanding more than they love God's word and God's understanding, God's light. Their deeds are evil. And this is the condemnation. This is what I will judge him for in the day of judgment. Light, understanding of righteousness has come into the world. But they don't want that understanding of righteousness. They'd rather have that understanding of evil. They'd rather have something to soothe their conscience. This is the condemnation that is in the world. This is what I will judge them for. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. I will judge him because he knows. I will judge him because he hath been enlightened. I will judge him because he has seen a light. And I will judge him, and I will condemn him to the bottomless pit. I will put him in the fire because he loves evil. And I made this world for the righteous. You know, folks, when we stop and think about it, it's just reasonable to think that if Brother Paul here owns this arena, that he can do with it whatever he wants to do with it. Isn't that right? If he decides he wants a church in it, he can put a church in it. Nobody can't stop him because it's his. And the Bible said it's lawful for me to do what I will with that which is mine. Now, so then, it's the same way with God. If God has made this world, if God has planted the trees, if God made the stars, God made the sun, he made the moon, if God made everything, it is God's. And whatever God wants to do with it, he can do with it. Whatever he made it for, he can use it for that. And brother, sister, God is the spirit of holiness, Paul tells us. God is holy. God is righteous. The Bible said, be therefore holy, even as I am holy, saith the Lord God of heaven. If God made this world, and he is the spirit of holiness, then God intends for this earth to be holy. He intends for this earth to be pure. He intends for this earth to be clean. And if he has to burn every living human being in the world, he will do it and start all over again, because he is not going to tolerate the wicked. He said, I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. He said, Moses, I want you to hear me, Moses. I'm speaking to you, Moses. I want you to listen to me. I have made you great. I have made you mighty. And I've raised you up in the sight of men. And I've given you power and authority. But Moses, I will in no wise acquit the wicked. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of the forefathers. I will justify the righteous. And my blessings are unto the righteous to 1,000 generations. But I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. I am angry with the wicked every day. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from over the face of the earth. The prayers of the wicked are abomination in my sight. Though they have their religious gatherings by the millions, I am still angry with them every day. Though they gather together millions of dollars by TV, millions of dollars by radio, millions of dollars in their drives, in their assemblies, and though they have millions of dollars in their treasury, their offerings is abomination in my sight. He said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me, God said, because I own all things are mine. Your offerings is abomination in my sight. Your prayers are abomination in my sight. I shall in no wise acquit the wicked, but my blessings is unto 1,000 generations that will hear my word. Oh, I would, God said to Moses, oh, I would that the people that are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, and I would heal their land. And it would be well with them and their children all the days of their life. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And though they wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years, the Bible says there was not one sick among them. They did not have doctors, they did not have physicians, they did not have colleges, they did not have factories, but the Bible said their feet never swelled. There was not one sick among them. All of them was of a good understanding, and they were wealthy, they were powerful in riches, they were powerful in understanding. They were the greatest nation on the face of the earth because God was with them. God was with them. All of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. For he hath revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. When men get to where they can get lust out of their heart, quit lusting after women, and women quit tearing them all to pieces every time they pass by, when they get a little experience with God, when they learn how to pray, when they begin to talk to God, and to get just enough over the flesh to where they can be a decent human being in the sight of God instead of like a bunch of dogs running around after the women that are in nude conditions of today, or after the women that don't have any control over their spirit. When men get straightened out with God, then God can do something for them. And when women get straightened out to where they don't lust after men and run around after men like a bunch of dogs, then God will do something for them. But brethren, as long as you act like dogs, God's going to treat you like dogs. He said concerning the Gentiles, he told the Jews, he said they're dogs. When the woman come over there to get a little bread, he said it's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. But brethren, let me tell you something, you don't have to be a dog. Somebody said, Brother Pike, they say, now that's strong preaching. I know it's strong preaching, but that's the way that Jesus preached. That's what Christ said. If you object to it, tell him. That's what he said about it. I'm just conveying it on to you. That's what Jesus said about it. Jesus said, you are a generation of vipers. You are a generation of vipers. He told them, you are a generation of vipers. John said, you're a generation of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? Do you realize that in the days of John, if them people back there, as religious as they were called a generation of vipers, what do you think God thinks of us today? When we reject God today in this miserable, wretched generation, God said, a backslidden, adulterous generation. Lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All of my tables are filled with vomit. You'll go home and you'll switch on the TV and you'll fill your belly with the husk that the swine eat, and you'll fill your belly with the food that the dog eats. You'll fill your belly with that stuff from a devil's table, and then you'll come to church and you'll sit down at God's table and try to fill yourself with God's word. Brother and sister, you can't mix darkness with light. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why is America sick? Because she's eating at the table of devils and trying to eat at the tables of God. She's letting the poor go hungry and starve to death. She's letting those that are naked and cold go without clothing. And he said, if you will take the naked into your house and clothe them, If you will take the hungry into your house and feed them, then your health will return unto you speedily. Then your light shall go before you, and men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the love of God, the light of God, shall be an exceeding great reward unto you. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, if you've received the Holy Ghost, then you are not guilty of these things that I speak of tonight. But if you are not a child of God, Jesus says that you are a dog. He says you are a swine. He said, though you be religious and you get a washing, if you be a swine, the sow will go back to her wallowing in the mire or in the slop after she's been washed. You can make her as religious as you want to, and she can stand up in the choir and sing on Sunday morning, but if she is a sow, when the fair is over, she'll take the blue ribbon and all and go back to the hog pen and wallow in the mire. Take a dog. It doesn't matter how beautiful the dog is. You can wash him. You can comb him down. You can spray him with perfume. But after a while, when he vomits a little, if you turn your head, he'll go back and he'll lap his vomit. He'll lap his vomit. You take a person that's a dog, spiritually speaking, a person will come to church, they'll leave all of the evil things they've said behind. They'll leave behind all of those things that they were feeding off of. But just as quick as they leave church, that vomit that they vomited up out there before they came in, because they are a dog, they'll go right back out there and get in the same mess, start saying the same things, acting the same way, and licking the same vomit that they left out there. You love Jesus? Have you got time to listen just a minute or two more? People love darkness rather than light. Why do they love darkness rather than light? It is because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. They do the wrong things. They don't do the right things. They do the wrong things. And because they do the wrong things, then they love that darkness rather than light. And what is that darkness? Their own understanding. For Satan is interwoven in your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Cast down imagination and your own understanding. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, in your flesh, you know, this comes down to the avenue that you live on. In your flesh, not in my flesh now. I'm talking about your flesh. You say you don't think it's in your flesh, Brother Pike? God says to one, he says to all, to me and to you, what he says. But I'm preaching to you tonight in your flesh. You know, a lot of times we like to say, boy, he got the neighbor and he got this fella, and if the other fella had been here, he'd have got him too. But I'm talking about all of us tonight now. All of us tonight. Within your flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Within your flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I'm talking about you now. You say, Brother Pike, who are you talking to? I am talking about you tonight. Within your flesh. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. There is no good thing within your flesh tonight. For to will is present. For to will is present. I have a knowledge of right, and to will is present. I have a knowledge of right. I think about right. I know I ought to do right. I want to do right. To will is present if we've been born again. If we've been born again. To will is present. But how to perform that in my human senses and instrumentality, I cannot find. I cannot find. There is a power, a spiritual interwoven infiltration, a power that is so great that it has interwoven itself with me in my body, and my inner man is in a prison, and I cannot get that inner desire into the outer man to perform good things. I am overpowered by that evil man on the outside. But Paul said, I learned a secret. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. For those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, if they walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Howbeit, brethren, if you've been born again, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Have you been born again? If you've been born again, you're in the Spirit. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Pike, but being a believer is not enough. When you are a believer, that doesn't mean you've been born again. That doesn't mean you've been born again. Now listen just for a minute. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you? Have you? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You may be a believer, but have you received the Holy Ghost? All right, listen. If you are a believer, doesn't mean that you've been born again. If you are a believer, it doesn't mean you've been born again. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power. What did Peter say? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Take fire, put it with water, you get steam. Take the blood of Calvary that burns the chaff out of our life, which is the fire of God. Put it with the water when we are baptized in the name of the Lord, relate it one to another, you get the Holy Spirit, which the steam represents. Be baptized, you receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The ones in this day, it's the same terms, it's the same formula, it's the same way, it's the same thing. In this day, it's the very same thing. If you have the Holy Ghost, you've been born again. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, it is a still birth. You're dead. It must be water. There must be blood. There must be spirit. If you leave off those, then you're dead. If you leave off the spirit, if a child comes into this world, if there's no spirit in him, he is dead. If you do not have the Spirit of God, the Bible said you're none of God's. You're none of God's. If you do not have the Spirit of God, then you're none of God's. But if you have the Spirit of God, then it is not a still birth. It is a living birth, and you are alive forevermore. You are alive forevermore. If you've been born again tonight, then you have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you are a believer, perhaps. And if so, then you are a candidate for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So then if you are a believer, then let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. For you shall receive an overcoming power and enter perseverance and enter seal. And I'm going to close with saying this tonight. The Bible says when the unclean spirit is gone out of a person or a man, it wandereth through dry places seeking rest, and it cannot find any. Therefore, when it cannot find any, it said, I will return into the body that I came out of. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places, seeking rest. It cannot find any. Therefore, it says, I will return to the body that I came out of. The body that I came out of. The Bible said the unclean spirit goeth back to that same body. When it returns to that body, it finds that it has been garnished that it has been swept, that it has been cleaned up, it has been purged, it has been sanctified. And when it attempts to go in, the body is so clean it cannot go in. Therefore, it has to go searching for help. It goes back and it looks for help. When it looks for help, the Bible said it will go take seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, come back and through a reinforcement, enter into that body. They will force their way into that body. There's a young boy sitting over here. Before, he just had a spirit working on him. That same young boy wouldn't listen at me. Now he's got numbers of devils that's got a hold of him, sitting right on this side right here. He interferes with the services. He interferes on the home grounds. He's been caught in so many different things until his next trip will be to prison unless he does something hurriedly. Now, and I've told a number of young boys this, and they went to prison, a number of people, and they died. What happens? Evil spirits get together. They form strength. When the Bible speaks of a Christian, it said one can put 1,000 demons to flight. Demons are fallen angels, evil spirits. Satan's workers. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two Christians can come together and put 10,000 to flight. That's why we need to pray for one another. That's why we need to drive the evil powers back to keep them from oppressing a man to death when he's fighting. Maybe he's fighting off 1,000. Samson took the jawbone of an ass. He slayed 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. But brother, it takes two sometimes to put 10,000 to flight when they gang up on you. And so then we need to pray one for another. So when these demon spirits come back, seven came with the spirit and then they forced their way in. Now listen, first it might just have been a spirit of sucking on a weed. Just a spirit of sucking on a weed. God freed you from that. And then when it couldn't get back in, it went and picked up a lust devil. And then the lust devil and the devil that sucked on a weed went and picked up a gossip devil. And they all bound together. And they went and picked up a hatred devil. And they went and picked up a fault-finding devil. And on and on and on and on until they strengthen themselves and they probe at you from one side or another. This probes at your mind and then that probes at your mind. And another spirit probes at your mind and another spirit probes at your mind till you get to going around and around and you get so addled you don't know what to do. Then all of them enters right into you. You get tore up, you lose your faith. All of them enters into you, you lose your guard. You see what I'm saying? But brother, sister, after that you become a believer and you're sanctified by the holy word of God, the Bible said the faith of God by which you're sanctified, the offering up of the body of Jesus, when you become sanctified by that, you need to get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You need to get the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and when you get the infilling of the Holy Ghost, then you'll find out that you've got power over all the powers of sickness, the powers of the evil one, all of the powers that try to get in and contaminate you or try to destroy you. Some people have a devil that they just want to make money. And that devil literally drives them crazy. They can't get enough. They are like a greedy dog. Some people have a devil of lust and they can marry 10 times, but they never are contented with any wife because they have a devil of lust. Some people have another kind of devil and some people another kind of devil, but one or another, they are driven all the time by those evil spirits and they can't rest day or night. But God casts out devils. If you listen to his word tonight, it'll cast out the devil. The Bible teaches that he sent his word and healed them, faith in his word will heal you. He sent his word, and by his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. Is that right? Many times I've spoke the word and something happened. I'm closing now. I had a girl to come the other day. I made mention of it. A devil had a hold of her. I spoke to the girl. I kept speaking to her in the name of the Lord. And after a while, the word of God went into her. Tears filled her eyes. I said, it's gone. It broke. I had a boy that come here the other night that stood right over here. I knelt down and began to talk to him about the word of God, laid my hands on him. All of a sudden it broke. His eyes filled with tears. I remember when we had the tent up one time, they was praying for a woman trying to get her loose from the devil. The woman was just raging and going on. Finally, when they couldn't get the devil to leave, I said, bring the woman over here. When they brought the woman over there, I began to speak to the woman. I began to talk to the woman in the name of the Lord, speak to her. And I felt Satan begin to loose, and I began to speak to her. And all of a sudden, as I began to speak to her, I felt that wonderful surge of God, and I felt the word of God cast the devil out, and all of a sudden she screamed out. She said, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Now, it's like the devil that jumped on Sister Beachy the other night. The woman was coming up the road, and there, when the heart attack took place, we got to her, and the devil was choking the life out of her. The devil was killing her. But as we prayed, he broke his hold. She got up. She walked to the bus. She was all right. She was breathing all right. When she sat down in the bus, I left her. I went up to the front of the bus to drive. As I started to drive, just as I got to her, I couldn't get to her. The devil hit her again. And she started dying again. I whirled into a service station. When I did, I grabbed a hold of her arm. The pulse was gone. I began to pray and rebuke the devil, and Satan loosed his hold. And when the death angel loosed his hold and moved back, the pulse came back and she began to breathe again. Why is that? Why is that? God does those things because he gives us power over all the powers of the enemy. And the Bible teaches the last enemy to be conquered is death. One of these nights, for the sake of those that don't know, we're going to minister concerning death, the enemy death, and what God thinks about it and what we should do about it. Because this is the day that we should understand how God feels about death. I want you to stand with me now. I appreciate your attention tonight. Glad to see Rick and the family here tonight, and also Brother Beretta and his family tonight. I'm certainly glad to see them here. They have down through the years worked with us in the ministry and in our evangelistic crusades all around the different parts of the country and in the foreign places. And maybe someday that they'll do it again if Jesus tarries. I certainly hope so. But we appreciate all of you. Appreciate the wonderful blessings of God. Certainly appreciate Ed still being here with us, the family. It is so good to have you here. The Lord is doing something, and as you watch, the light is going to get brighter and brighter. And as the light becomes brighter, then that means that people are going to back off farther and farther, because the translation of the church, that is the power to overcome death, is about to be instilled within the hearts of the true believers. And there's just going to be a minority, just going to be a few. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Straight is the gate that leadeth to everlasting life. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall enter therein. So then in the days of Noah, it was only Noah and his family, about 8 people. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, even Lot's children, all of them was lost except two. And even his wife, as they started to leave him, turned to a pillar of salt, as she had great possessions in the world, and she couldn't keep her mind off of them. And the Bible said, any man having looked back after putting his hand to the plow is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so then, having possessions and children back in Sodom and Gomorrah, though the angel had warned her not to look back, she looked back. She turned to a pillar of salt. Folks, look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. You know, we need to keep looking straight ahead. An awful day in which we live, but we need to look straight ahead. Tell Satan to get behind us and look straight ahead. You know, we're living in a horrible day. Isn't that right? I remember something that was related to us not too long ago that happened that relates to what we're saying tonight. As a policeman walked up to a car, a girl asleep in it, he walked to the side of it, said, "Look straight at me. Don't turn your head. Look straight at me." Her and a companion, or the one that was with her, had give out of gas along the road, and the policeman came along, and when he walked up to the side of the car, he said, "Look straight at me. Don't turn your head." And the girl, as she awoke, she kept staring right straight at him. He said, "Don't turn your head. Look straight at me." And when he got her out and she found out what was wrong, somebody had taken the boy that had gotten out to go get the gasoline, had taken him and cut his head off and set his head up right on the hood, staring her in the face. And it was a bloody mess of his face right in her face on the hood. And the policeman happened to find it. She had gone off to sleep in that they had waited so long. It's a wicked day. But folks, we need to look straight ahead. Straight ahead. Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. We need to look straight ahead. Isn't that right? Look at the condition of Atlanta. All of those little children dead. All of them dead. The police can't find out anything. They're not doing anything. We think that we've got security, folks. We think that we've got protection. But the Bible said, "Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help." As long as we serve God and we pray and look to God, our police force is going to be valuable to us. As long as we look to God, the hospitals and medicine is going to be valuable to us. But when we quit looking to God, the police are not going to be able to do anything. And when we quit looking to God, the Bible said, "In that day no man shall be able to save them, and there will be no healing medicines." The hospitals aren't going to be any good to us. It's only when we serve God that God creates remedies for protection to his people. I love you tonight. I appreciate you. And we're going to sing a little chorus together. I want to say again that we appreciate you coming to be with us. If you've been blessed, good and well. But honor the Lord with your substance, whether it be money, whether it be your body, whether it be your thoughts, whatever it might be, honor the Lord with it. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, your presses shall burst out with new wine. And the Bible said that God, all that you have will be clean unto you if you give of that which you have. And the Bible said God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He'll not be destroying the fruits of your ground. And whereas the Bible said, "Cursed shall they be in the city," the curse will be lifted off of the city, and the killers, the rapists, and all the other evil things that are happening will cease. For he said, blessed shall be thy store, blessed shall be thy basket, blessed shall thou be in the city. The sirens won't be screaming in the buildings, burning up your loved ones. Won't be wrecks on the highways as in the day of the great millennium that is to come. And nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So then, if you don't want to lose your loved ones, you don't want to have heartaches and sorrow, then let the Lord bless you. He said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You choose whichever one you want. If you choose the blessing, I will bless you. If you choose the curse, I will curse you. Whatever you want to do, according to whatever you want to do, try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive. Okay, let's sing this together now. When he reach down his hand for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. While they're playing tonight,
when my Savior,
if you'll come and stand around here, we'll pray for you tonight. The remaining nights of these meetings, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be praying and asking God to heal you. I'm praying for you before I come up here. And I want to pray for you while we're here in the meetings. If you're sick, you need healing, I want to pray for you. You know, the Lord is doing something here in this meeting. We have had, as I said the other night, there's been many wrestling in this building. There's been dances in this building. There's been men like Muhammad Ali, people like Elvis Presley, people like Jerry Lee Lewis that has come to this building. But now Jesus has come to this building. And now we're here to do something for Jesus. We're here to do something for Jesus. Would you like to come and stand around here tonight, since so many is coming tonight? Would you like to just come and stand around here tonight? And let me pray for you and ask God to bless you. I'm praying for you. You know, the minister has an unusual ability. God said concerning the minister that whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. He said concerning the ministry, whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And then he said concerning the ministry, whatever you bind on this earth, I will bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on this earth, I will loose it in heaven. As my Father has sent me, he said, so send I you. So then, whatever God intends for you must come through or by the ministry, through the preaching of the word, For God has set the ministry here for the perfecting of the saints. Even the little bitty children that have heard and believe out of the mouth of sucklings, God hath perfected praise. They come to be prayed for. They come to be blessed because they want the blessing of the Lord in their lives. Even the little ones, they want the blessing of the Lord in their lives. And they know that God will bless them. They know that God will bless them. So then, it is so wonderful to know that Jesus is with us. It is so wonderful to know that Jesus is here. I want you to close your eyes with me. Lift your hands. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands. Hands that God hath made holy. Hands that God hath made holy. For the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God, at Calvary. So then tonight, let's lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And let's ask Jesus tonight, as we call upon his name, to help us. Don't do like Esau. Don't sell your birthright for a morsel of bread. Don't listen to a voice that will make you alien to the wonderful wealth of heaven. Eternal life is a long time. You have only a few feeble moments in this world. Few days, Solomon said, and full of trouble. Though Solomon had many wives, though he had much money, though he had everything that the flesh calls for, yet he said it's all vanity. Said it's a vexation to my spirit. The Bible said Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah was vexed by the evil conversation of the wicked. All is vanity. All is vexation of the spirit. Don't trade eternal life and eternal youth, eternal fame, eternal splendor, eternal wealth. Don't trade it for the beggarly elements of this world. Moses, rather than being the son of Pharaoh, the Bible said he chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season. People in this world, they like preeminence. They like prestige. They want to show their person off. They want to be something in this world. They'll do anything. They'll manipulate. They'll cross up anything, do anything to be out front in this world. Steal, rob, manipulate, take away from. Let little ones go hungry. Anything, they will do it in this world. They will do it in this world to have the preeminence. But I want you to know that life is but a few days and full of trouble. And the Bible tells us that with all that you can have, it's all vanity. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away. It appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away. Life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away. And so then, let's don't trade our eternal life for the beggarly elements of this world and a few frivolous moments. Let's don't sell out like Esau did and in the end seek God with bitter tears only to hear him say no, that it is eternally too late. God will bless you in this life and you can have the blessings of God. He will bless you in this life. He will give you health. He will give you riches. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He will give you fame. He said, David, I have taken thee from among the sheepcote. I have given thee a name like unto the great men of the earth. He will give you fame. He will give you prestige. He will give you the blessings. He will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, for the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He will add no sorrow. And then at the end of the way, God will give you eternal life. You can be blessed in this world or in the world to come. And in the world to come. Or you can forfeit your right to heaven, take a few beggarly elements with trouble, fears, frustrations, and problems here in this world, and then lose out with God. The Bible said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I tell you, the days of being cold is over. When you know about God, you can never be cold again. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth and you reject it willfully, you can never be saved anymore. You are eternally doomed. Because you can never be cold again. Never be cold again. Once you come to the knowledge of God, you cannot ever be cold again. You become lukewarm then because you know to do good. And you won't do it. And God said, I won't tolerate you. I will spew you out of my mouth. So then tonight, let's call on Jesus. Let's get in. Let's really get in. Let's make up our minds and realize that this is the most dangerous age it's ever been in the history of mankind. That it is a religious age of knowledge and understanding. And God will require it, because to whom much is given, much is required. And in this age, God will require to the people, and the servant that do to do his Lord's will, like these people of this age know, shall be beaten with many stripes. Shall be beaten with many stripes. Don't wait till your loved ones die. Don't wait till your children are taken. Don't wait until death reaches up and pulls you down into that dark, deep valley of despair. Don't wait till insanity strikes. Don't wait until heartaches come. Don't wait until you have to be put right down on the bottom in poverty and have to crawl just to be able to make a living, as we say. Call on God. Let him bless you. Call on God. Call on God while he is near. For someday he won't be near. Someday he won't be there. If you don't, someday you'll need him. And he said, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. I will laugh at your calamity, because you would none of me. You wouldn't listen at me when I called to you. You wouldn't have any of me when I call to you. And wisdom said, I stand at the gate and cry. But if you won't have any of me, there'll come a day when you will want me, and I won't be there. You'll be void of wisdom, and I will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. So then tonight, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus tonight. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you tonight. Let's pray together. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, everyone, Father, that has not made that divine commitment, I ask in Jesus' name tonight that they make that commitment to God tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus tonight that they make that divine commitment. May their sins be forgiven. May they make that commitment tonight. May the yoke be broken. May every bond be taken off. Father, may everything be taken away. May the great, wonderful Holy Spirit come down in their hearts and in their lives, O God. And may they be healed tonight. Father, may they be blessed tonight. You said that whoever I bless would be blessed, Father. And I bless these people tonight according to thy word and will. in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I bless them, and they shall be blessed, O God. I bless them in your name tonight, according to their faith and confidence, O God, in that which I have spoken, according to their faith and confidence in the Word of God tonight. I bless them tonight, Father, and I speak healing to them tonight. I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to forgive tonight. I remit their sins tonight in the name of the Son of God tonight. By their faith in God and by faith in the Word tonight, Lord, we speak deliverance and remission of sin in the name of the Son of God as they call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Hear us, O God. Hear us, O God. I ask you to hear us tonight. And I know that you hear me always, Father. So I thank you in Jesus' lovely name for the petition which I desire. Heal, save, forgive in the lovely name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? I feel better. Hallelujah. You know, every night that we come here and worship together, I feel better. Every time that we come together in the house of God, I feel better. Even though we're not having a tabernacle full of people, I still praise God for this meeting. And I thank God for the opportunity to be here, because God is doing something wonderful, something great, and something mighty. And I feel His wonderful presence. I thank God for it. Hallelujah. You love Him tonight? Hallelujah. I want to sing a song with you tonight. Can we sing one more song together? If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave them there. Can you sing it with me now? Go leave them there. Go leave them there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave them there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Don't you love Him tonight? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, oh sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. All the paths of God are peace, for I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. evermore. Say it one more time now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. One more time together. Let's lift our hands and close our eyes now. We're going to close the service tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Morris if he'll come up here tonight. Morris Allen, if you'll come up here tonight. Appreciate our brother from Marysville, Tennessee. Wonderful brother, a wonderful singer, wonderful help. And tonight, brother, sister, as he prays the prayer of benediction, tonight, I want you to think upon Jesus. As you call upon the name of the Lord tonight, believe. The Bible said when you pray, believe. If you desire anything, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Decree a thing in your heart, and it will come to pass. Ask in faith, nothing wavering, and God will give it to you. As our brother prays for your healing tonight, your salvation, I want you to pray with him, and I want you to believe. Don't forget the services tomorrow night. Tell somebody. Go out into the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in, that the house of the Lord may be filled up.